4, verse 35 through 41. Later that day, when evening came, Jesus said to them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." They left the crowd and took him in the boat just as he was. Other boats followed along. Gale force winds arose and waves crashed against the boat so that the boat was swamped. But Jesus was in the rear of the boat, sleeping on a pillow. They woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are drowning?" He got up and gave orders to the wind, and he said to the lake, "Silence, be still." The wind settled down, and there was a great calm. Jesus asked them, "Why are you frightened? Don't you have faith yet?" Overcome with awe, they said to each other, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Last week, we started a new sermon series about storms in our lives. It's not if a storm is going to come, but when a storm is going to come. Storms come, but we can prepare for storms. And if we prepare for storms, we will prevail over the storms. And many of the ways that we prepare for storms is we get away and we get alone from people, from distractions, so that we can spend time reading the Bible and learning more about God and what He does and who He is. We get away from people and distractions so that we can spend time in prayer. We get away so that we can spend time with God. Another way that we prepare is to be in community, in some sort of a small group, a Sunday school class, so that we share our life with others, but then we have others who walk the journey of faith with us, so that when storms come, we are not alone. And another way we prepare is we offer forgiveness to others. We let go of that unforgiveness. Not that we let them off the hook, but we forgive so that we are free from the decay and the disease and the death that unforgiveness brings. Today we read about another storm story, but I'm not sure that this story has really impacted us. It's a nice story. Jesus did a miracle for some people way back when, but I think we miss what Mark is trying to convey through this story. The disciples should have known better than going out on the sea late in the day. Many of us have probably had a moment. We've had a decision that was before us, and we knew there was possibility for problems. We knew there was possibility for storms to come, but we rush into the decision instead of being still and thinking things through. At least four of these disciples were fishermen on this very sea. They knew this sea. It was the lifeblood of their families. For them, it was their lifeblood until Jesus invited them to follow Him. They knew its secrets. They knew its contours. They knew its patterns. It had this unique geography. It was a low-lying sea that was surrounded by mountains. It was fed by the Jordan River, but also fed by hot springs. Cold air from the mountains would meet the hot water, and funneling winds made this sea subject to sudden and severe violent storms. The disciples knew there was possibility of storms, but they followed Jesus' suggestion to cross the sea anyway. There are moments that we have where we know there are chances of storms, But we rush in to making a decision instead of being still and waiting to make the right decision. They get out on the sea, they're in their boats, and sure enough, while they were on the lake, a storm arose. Mark says, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. When I was in junior high and high school, I was in Boy Scouts, and we spent a large chunk of time in the spring and summer on Lake Greenbelt. And one of the first things they taught us when I was this scrawny little teenage junior high boy was, if water was getting in your canoe, how to get water out. If you couldn't get the water out, we learned how to turn our canoes over and lift our canoes up to get water out of the canoe so that we would be safe. They showed us how to, if we were in a dangerous situation, how to get out of a dangerous situation. If I, as a scrawny junior high West Texas boy, was taught how to get out of dangerous situations, surely these much more developed, strong fishermen, disciples knew what to do. But the problem was, the more water they bailed out, the more water poured into the boat. Sometimes in our lives, the hits come faster than the relief. Storms come, waves pour into our lives, we bail water, but the waves keep coming harder and faster than we can handle. Some of us know this. We know this when we realize that a sibling has an eating disorder. We discover this when we discover our child's drug abuse, when a spouse leaves, when our car breaks down the same month that we have a medical emergency, when mom tells us she has cancer, when the doctors tell us we have cancer. The waves break faster and faster and faster, and we can't bail the water out quick enough. And we come across this passage, and we know how these guys feel. We know what they're going through. The disciples were trying to save their lives. They were bailing water, and they realize Jesus wasn't with them. Where was Jesus? Jesus was sleeping in the rear of a boat on a pillow. And they woke him up and asked, "Don't you care that we're drowning?" Have we asked that question before? Bailing water, trying to survive and keep from sinking, and it seems like Jesus is sleeping. It feels like he's doing nothing to help, and we feel like we are on our own. And we too want to scream, "Don't you care?" Have you felt that? Parents get a divorce. Sickness goes unhealed. Bills go unpaid. A spouse dies. A boyfriend or a girlfriend breaks up with us. And we shake our fist at the sleeping Jesus. What about me? We've heard of Jesus doing good things for other people. But why is he sleeping in our boat instead of helping out? Don't you care? Verse 39, he got up. He rebuked the wind and the waves. "Quiet. Be still." He says these things to the winds, and the winds die down. But he also says these words into our lives. And I wonder if he's quoting one of the Psalms, Psalm 46:10. "Be still and know that I am God." Jesus doesn't answer the disciples' question. They ask, "Don't you care?" He gets up and he stills the storm. And he asks them a question. Why are you afraid? Why are you frightened? They were frightened of the storm, about the winds and the waves, possibility of sinking. The storms in our lives, why are we afraid? Are we afraid of death? Are we afraid of illness, of loneliness, of the unknown? Jesus asks, do you not recognize that my presence is enough in any storm? And he asks why they are frightened. But I think he's pointing out they have nothing to fear. The disciples don't answer Jesus' question just like he didn't answer theirs, but they ask another question, who is this? And I think that's the central question in Mark's book. Who is this? Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. In the last verse of this passage, did you catch what Mark wrote? They went out on the sea when they knew there was a possibility of a storm coming. A storm does come, and they do everything in their knowledge and in their power to try to keep the boat from sinking. And they run out of options, and they finally wake Jesus up, and he calms the storm. Storm's over, things are good. But Mark writes, they were terrified. The storm's over, but they're terrified. They were scared in the storm, but terrified in the calm. We know this, but we've probably never put it into words. Sometimes the calm is scarier than the storm. Mark, I think Mark includes this story in his gospel account because it answers the question that he's asking. Who is Jesus? If Jesus can stop the storm, he's not a teacher. If Jesus can stop the storm, he's not a great man. If Jesus can stop the storm, he is God. And the story, I don't think, is about what Jesus does. It's about who he is. We run to Jesus when we have storms in our lives. But do we run to him when there's a calmness, when everything seems to be going right? Some of us may get to a point in our lives where there's less and less storms, and we need to deal more and more with Jesus' identity. Most of us can trust Jesus in the storm. When we're desperate, we seek God. When we're desperate, we come to church. When we're desperate, we pray. We talk to the pastor. We read the Bible. But then the crisis passes. And too often, we go back to the casual, occasional faith. We would rather sail solo in the calm than allow Jesus to be in charge. Can you trust Jesus in the calm? In the calm, can we acknowledge we're not in charge? It's easy to go to God when we've been laid off work or something bad happens, but Jesus is looking for a people who will give him everything in the calm. I think one reason that the calm can be so scary is because in the calm, it's much harder to complain. And for some of us, we can't be happy unless we have something to complain about. We're scared of the calm, so we begin to create storms. We probably don't do this consciously, but the calm scares us. Jesus being in charge scares us, and so we create something to go wrong so that we can run to Jesus with our problem. Jesus will calm the storm. Jesus will rescue us from those things, but he wants to be the Lord of our life. He wants us to seek him in the calm as well as the storm. For some of us, we need to begin changing our mindset. And so when things are calm, we need to thank God and we need to celebrate the peace that he has brought into our lives. We need to give God the glory for those things that are going well. We need to seek God in the calm so that we are prepared to be with God in the storm. In just a few moments, Karen's going to play in our communion rails will be open for prayer. And this morning, I wonder how many of us need to come forward and pray because too often we've tried to do things by ourselves. And things aren't working out right, and we're like the disciples wondering, why is Jesus sleeping, not doing something? Maybe it's because we've been trying to do it all on our own instead of finding him. Some of us may need to confess that too many times we've looked only for him to rescue us instead of allowing him to be the Lord of our life. And some of us need to pray that verse from the Psalms. Lord, help me to be still so that I know that you are God. So that he begins to change us from the inside out. So that he begins to prepare us for those storms that will come, and we will prevail through those storms. Karen's going to play for just a few moments, and our communion rails are open to spend some time in prayer. Let's pray. For some of us, we're going through storms in our life right now. And for many of us, we're trying to do it on our own. Father God, help us to realize that we can't go through the storms alone. Help us to realize we need brothers and sisters in Christ who will walk with us, support us, comfort us, be with us through the storms. when we feel that you are not doing anything, open our eyes to see what you are doing in our life. When we feel like we are alone, remind us how many people we have surrounding us, supporting us through our storm. And as we enter into times of calmness, may we not go back to our old ways of occasionally having faith, but allow us in the calm to let you be Lord of our lives. Help us to be comfortable in the calmness and not stir things up or go chasing after storms, but help us to be comfortable in the calmness, allowing you to be Lord of our life. Work in us, Father God, because we're not who you want us to be yet. Work through us, Father God, so that we may touch the lives of those who are in storms, needing to know that you are there. Echo in our lives your words of be still, so that we can know that you are God. We pray all of this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We stand as we sing our next hymn.